everybody. It's me again, back in your life, back in your house, back in your ear with Beyond the Matrix, the radio program that dares you to think outside the box of convention. And, you know, are we doing that or what? I mean, think about what's going on. Oh, okay, we've got some interesting sounds here, like a ring, like a ringy ring ring. So I'm going to ask my producer to make sure that there's no interference, and we keep going on here.
Because, you know, we just lost your guest. I guess that was your guest, so we'll keep trying.
All right. Okay, well, we've just had a little snag, but that's okay because I'll keep telling you about a few things that I think are important to talk about before I get my guest back. As I was saying, Northern Spiral over Norway. Great spiraling, they're calling it a pyramid, but it's really a tetrahedron over the Kremlin, and everybody's talking about, you know, they haven't taken their LSD lately or whatever, but I want you to pay attention to these things because I am convinced, and the Syrian High Council said pretty soon it's going to be hard for you to discern reality from fantasy as the veils go down, and down they seem to be going. So I think there's a debate over the spiral over Norway, and other people saying that this is some kind of an Anunnaki weapon system or a harp aberration. I'm just suggesting pay close attention and don't let yourself get caught up in negation. Take a look at what this stuff is. I'm very interested in the form over the Kremlin, which happened the same day or a day after the spiral in Norway. And just for the record, it's not a pyramid. It's a tetrahedron. And tetrahedrons are what I'm all about. And so are the Syrian High Council as representatives of three strands of DNA taking form in the nucleus of the cells, right, in the DNA structure. So here we've got this strange-looking DNA mass floating over the Kremlin. Is it an illusion? Is it a hologram? It's interesting. And just for the people that are recording it, no, it's not a pyramid. It is a tetrahedron. Look it up. All right. So anyway, here we are again, and I'm going to see if my guest is back. Have we got her back? No. Okay. Well, we keep trying, and I keep talking. I've got a lot of things to tell you about. I just came back from Amsterdam. Had some great sessions there, people opening up big time. It is really a very powerful place on this planet. So to all of you, my Amsterdam friends and family out there, thank you for tuning in. Thank you for being there in Amsterdam and in Veendam. It was wonderful being with you. It was wonderful raising the frequency in your part of the planet. Well, today's guest, if we get her back, Dawn. I've got my producer feverishly trying to get the connection back. You know, they do have snow in Amsterdam, so it might have to do with the weather.
Yeah, I'm still here.
Oh, you did. It's wonderful. That is the voice of Melve. She is my guest.
We're good. Hey, Pat.
I didn't get a chance to introduce you properly, so let me just, before we start talking, I want everyone to know that you and your wonderful husband, Rich, are the ones who did that video that's up, that you have all been enjoying, the interview with me. It's up on freedomcentral.info, which is their site. We're going to be talking about what they're up to, how they're doing what they're doing, and everything that's in their path on the way. But first, I want to thank you and Rich, Mel, for the wonderful work that you're doing, for the personal pleasure of knowing you and having established such an immediate connection with you, and to celebrate your power and your strength and your courage.
Thank you so much, Patricia. You know, that's an honor for us, of course, because along this journey, we have the privilege of meeting people such as yourself. And I think that's what makes this whole journey so worthwhile, is those connections we're making and the things we're learning. You know, I absolutely love sitting and editing your work. Like, we've just done a second interview with you. And I've enjoyed it so much because I get to sit and listen to it again and again and absorb everything you're saying. And it's a real privilege to have the first-hand info you know, before everyone else gets it. So it's an honor of mine. Thank you.
No, that's very nice to hear. And you also took my DNA workshop, so we'll be talking about how you guys are processing that information and that experience. But I'd like to start out with your story, which is fascinating. Who you are and why you set off on this path, for starters. So
Goodness, you came to the point
where you decided together to set off on the path, despite your spiritual path, to expose a lot of very intense information. Talk about that.
Okay. Right. I, of course, background, I'm South African, and I ended up in London at about the age of 23, and I started off with my first job at L'Oreal, which is very, as you know, commercial and illusion-based company, and I started to notice things very early from then, you know, and moved it, presenting on TV, funny enough, selling things on QVC, which I'm sure you guys must be familiar with.
Yeah.
Channel. It's one of the biggest in the world. And then ended up as a plus-size model working in a very, you know, being quite an intelligent person. I really struggled with how shallow, mundane, and misrepresented the fashion industry and things were. And I began to question a lot of things from, you know, but never saw how things tied together. But it really was a case of, you know, I got to a point when I lived in London where the energy there was so bad, and I would never be able to make a happy life for myself there. And it was a decision to, funny enough, come over to Amsterdam for a weekend. And it was the weekend away. So many magical things happened, which made me realize that our path was to come back to Amsterdam. So we left London. We left that weekend, went back to London, packed our stuff, came over, and I decided to stop working in media, stop TV presenting. I had to wait for a while before my work permits came through and stuff to my husband. And during this time, I took the opportunity to go to yoga every day and come back, meditate for an hour, and I wrote a book. Because I've always wanted to write a book. I've always been a brilliant writer. I wrote a play when I was 17 years old, which was performed, and no one could believe the writer was so young. So, yeah, it was something I've always had an aspiration to do, and I thought I'd take this time to do this. And through this book came, I don't know, a journey that, you know, this research that I've stumbled onto. For goodness sakes, I was a presenter and a plus-size model. You know, now I'm, like, researching, the Vatican and Masons and all sorts of things, and off-world activities, and black ops witnesses, and, you know, there's all sorts
of things. Okay, wait, you're going too fast for us. Let's slow down. Let's get back to, you left the plastic world, and you and your man set out on exploring truth.
Yeah.
And from there, you opened Freedom Central Info. Now, what is Freedom Central Info exactly, and what are you doing?
Right, Freedom Central is basically, it's an alternative media platform, simply. You know, we are, I wouldn't even call myself a journalist, because I think that's, we're not in a structure. We basically give everyone a platform. We don't necessarily agree with the point of view of everybody that we interview, but it's not up to us to decide what people should hear. We just put the information out there from people we believe have some very interesting alternative points of view. And then we leave it up to people to make up their own minds what they want to believe. And, of course, you're someone who we highly respect, so we've interviewed you twice. And the only other person, of course, we have interviewed twice on our site as so far has been David Icke. So, you know, that's in terms of who we you know, the type of people we want to have are the type of people who are not going to sell fear. Because, you know, we're up to the neck in that. We love people who are inspirational, who have to bring a good message. And who,
yeah, we've definitely got enough fear out there, I think, for a galactic civilization, more than enough for a few billion people on Earth.
Exactly.
Fear to sell, a la grande. So, yes, it's wonderful that you are focused on, like I am, like David is, reducing the fear and helping people get into power.
Great.
And you certainly were confronted with that fear, let's say, surfacing in an event that happened to you. Do you want to talk about that?
Yes. Well, you know, I don't know how, but for some other reason, very early on in Freedom Central's conception, we had only done an interview with Desiree Rover, who was a medical research journalist, obviously giving us lots of information on the vaccinations. Then we did another scientist and scientist who, of course, talked about all sorts of things and hidden technology. And the third interview was David Icke in Amsterdam. And after that, we went to a conference in Brussels where we interviewed a few people, including Marcel Messing and Bill and Kerry from Project Camelot, and Stephen Bassett from the Exopolitics Movement. And for some other reason, when we left this conference, we had a camper van we were traveling in. It was really late, about 2 in the morning. My husband was dead tired, so we pulled up to a rest stop and thought we'd just take the night there, very safe, lots of other sort of cars and caravans around. Anyway, we locked the camper from the inside, and when we woke up in the morning, everything seemed to be as it was. The camper was still locked from the inside, and the only one thing that was missing was my husband's backpack, which had both our laptops and all our camera equipment and, coincidentally, 5,000 euros worth of emergency silver, which we all carry around nowadays. You know, emergency gold and silver coins. So, yeah, that was in this bag, and it was the only thing they took along with some evidence, which was in paper format, from Jane Burgermeister against various pharmaceutical companies with regards to the swine flu vaccinations.
Okay, so you're telling us that you woke up in the van, seems that what you're saying is you had a sense that something was off because you immediately noticed something wasn't right, and then you found that the bag was missing, right?
Well, you know, not even immediately. This is the most bizarre thing. Everything seemed to be the same. It was only when we noticed that my husband's briefcase had been moved from behind the seat onto the front of the seat, and we hadn't touched that briefcase in ages. I mean, it was thoroughly stuck behind the seat, and then we realized that his backpack was gone, but everything else within the camper was perfect. There was a wallet clearly visible, there was jewelry clearly visible, and that was all left behind. They only went for our media equipment and took documents.
Now, when you say they, who do you think was behind this?
Sure, you know, that's a million-dollar question, Patricia. I wish I knew. You know, there's, at the end of the day, they all aspire to the same dark force, don't they?
Right, but I mean, you know, you're talking about some extra-dimensional activity here. I mean, if this occurred without you being awakened, it's reminiscent of the state where people go into deep sleep either by ET hypnosis or some kind of mind control. How do you perceive this? What is your experience?
Thing like that, because when I woke, the one thing I forgot to mention, of course, is that I had bruising on my body that wasn't caused by any external force. It wasn't painful, massive bruising. That the doctor clearly said came from an internal thing. It wasn't caused from someone like him manhandling me. And apparently I was taken out the back of my camper through the large window, and it looks like they potentially floated me out because there actually was even a skin print of, you know, my skin against the window from the coconut oil that I'd used on my body before I'd gone to sleep. So, you know, there's a whole bunch speculation as to what happened. We've tried.
Well, but what you seem to be describing is a combination of an abductee experience and some unsavory visitors of the earthly variety experience. That's pretty complicated.
Potentially working together. Interesting.
Imagine that. Ah, yes.
Yes.
And well, you must have had some pretty interesting information in that briefcase, girl.
Well, do you know what it was? I think, you know, we were at this conference, which we have since worked out that the organizer had a nasty attachment. And also, some of the information I took from Bill and Kerry, when we did some channeling from various sources, we found out that some of the information that was put on the camera and some who could clearly point to, like someone being a CIA operative that I interviewed, and I could clearly point it out in the evidence from one of the questions I asked them. You know, there's many things in those interviews that if I was listening in, they potentially didn't want to get out. And, you know, all it does is give me more ammunition for my book that's coming out. Because I remember the stuff. You know, I've worked on remembering and writing down as much of the information that I lost as soon after I lost it.
So how much did you lose interviews? Is that what you're saying? Certain interviews?
Yes, I lost a whole bunch of interviews. I lost about 5 interviews.
And who were they?
I lost copies. Well, my book, I have most of the chapters apart from 4 backed up. The 4 most recent chapters were nowhere else backed up, and I lost my 4 most recent chapters. So that was all on my laptop. So that was hard. That was quite heartbreaking, because there was quite a few difficult ones as well. And
Gotta back up your work, girl.
You know, I've learned my lesson. I'm neurotic about it now, actually. So, yeah, I guess you learn the hard way, don't you?
Yeah. Okay, so who else was on that tricky recording?
Well, we have Steve Bassett.
Yeah.
The Politics Movement, who made a very interesting comment, if I can share it, which I just was absolutely enthralled at how incriminating it was and how obvious it was and how he blatantly disclosed to everybody through a question I asked that a CIA operative, and then the ExoPolitics Movement is a complete CIA front. And I asked him a question, and he responded, well, of course, you know, the American people think that the CIA and the American government were responsible for 9/11, especially when we won't admit to aliens. You know, think about that for a minute.
Hmm.
That was his response to a question when he doesn't even want to admit that the government and the CIA were involved in 9/11, but, you know, 9/11. But he will admit that they don't want to admit to extraterrestrials.
Well, if he didn't want that information out, why would he have made that admission?
Exactly. Exactly. And some of the things he spoke about in terms of some of the extraterrestrials and where he thought they came from, it just seemed like a little too, they're not stories I've heard commonly, and they just didn't seem to make sense. Like one was a story about a Nordic time traveler.
Mm-hmm. But, well, we do have our stories nowadays, eh?
Exactly, exactly. So, yeah.
And who else was on the stolen material?
Marcel Messing.
And did he say anything with
him? No, you know, Marcel, he is followed. We know for a fact that the Vatican often send a couple of officials to his conferences and things. You know, his people that rally around him recognize them now. They watch him because he knows so much. But he unfortunately didn't give me anything on the information. What I think the information was, and I'll tell you, that potentially got my stuff stolen was the Anunnaki were identified to build a description of the Anunnaki to me on camera that he'd been given by one of the witnesses that they did not want public on camera. Kind of like said, here's a scoop for you. And then the other thing was we had an hour-long conversation, just him and I, not an interview, just informal, on camera about the Vatican. And for whatever reason, that seems to be the spider at the center of the web that nobody really wants to go into too much detail about or speak about too much because they know it's the monster with the biggest teeth.
And speaking of monsters with big teeth, I've just put a pretty interesting Vatican-type picture on my Facebook page, which is a picture of the Pope standing below this very large embodiment of Jesus. And you want to go there and take a look at that picture and look into the eyes of this dude. Say,
I will.
Yeah,
he used to be in charge of the
imagination,
didn't he?
Very interesting picture of this guy's eyes. So any of you that are listening, it's Facebook, it's my page on Facebook. Take a look at that picture and tell me if it isn't creepy. In fact, that's what it says. Pretty creepy comments by Patricia Corey. So, yeah, just thought I'd throw that in. Okay, well, you know, I have a wonderful connection with Marcel Messing, and for a lot of people internationally don't know him because he's sort of local up in that region of Europe. But he's a brilliant man. He's a real dedicated to bringing the dark secret out. And I'm very honored to be one of those people that is also determined to bring it out. But as I said earlier, and as you said, it's very important to look at this stuff to be empowered by knowing it and to not be disempowered, so that because otherwise we're playing their game, aren't we?
Totally, Patricia. This is,
if by knowing this stuff we feel hopeless and just disempowered, then we are really doing a great service to the dark ones that are putting it out there for us to chew on. Because we have to remember that. I mean, a lot of it is a deliberate information highway that we think is, let's call it covert or conspiracy information. But as I told Marcel the other day, conspiracy's over. It's out.
Yeah.
You don't agree?
Indeed.
Do you agree, Mel?
No, the conspiracy's out, but you'd be amazed at how many people still don't know the truth. You know, in our circles, for
right.
us, it's old news. And for me, it's old news of now. I now want to focus on, but, you know, you've got various levels of this conspiracy where people are stuck at. You've got those who are still totally ignorant and unaware. And there's a large percentage of people like that.
That's right.
And then you've got those people who are still stuck at the Federal Reserve 911 level of this conspiracy. You know, and then there's several subtle layers in between. But you know, when you actually get down to what it's all about, it is in fact a war for our souls. It's on a spiritual level, and you know,
yes.
if you don't have a profound spiritual orientation, you'll never understand it.
But unquestionably, there is so much information out now, and there have been many people coming forward. David Icke, of course, being a great voice for so much of this, and. And now it seems we're moving into a new stage, and I'd like to talk about that.
Okay.
We are seeing a lot of very interesting things going on right now. I was with you in Amsterdam when the story broke about the spiral in Norway.
Mm-hmm.
And we have people saying that it was a covert harp-based phenomenon, whatever. I'm not so sure about that. And I wanted to ask you if you're aware of the pyramidal, which is not pyramidal, but tetrahedral shape that was spinning over the Kremlin, which was also debunked as a hoax. Are you aware of that?
You know what? I heard you talking about it earlier, and I was writing notes to myself for my radio show on Tuesday to have a look at it.
Of course, you know, the comments on YouTube are, the guy had too much LSD and all this foolishness, but this image is very interesting, and you as a video maker, I'd love to hear what you have to say about it, but I found it very exciting.
No, I'll have a look and nail you.
Yeah. What's exciting about it is they say a pyramid, but it's not. It's a tetrahedron, which you know is the basis of the Syrian teachings.
Of course, yes.
And when we were at the workshop, I was talking about the Syrians saying that you're get ready because you're going to be seeing a lot of sacred geometry in the skies. And if you recall
mm-hmm.
during that workshop, I was talking about the tetrahedron being the first of the platonic solids.
Yes, that's right.
Okay, well, what's appeared in Moscow is a tetrahedron, not a pyramid. Tetrahedron being a three-sided pyramid with a base, which is also shaped as a pyramid. You can clearly see that this is a tetrahedron, and I am pretty excited about this.
Absolutely. What do you think this means?
I hate to say I believe because any kind of reality could be emerging here, but I feel that we are beginning to see the weakening of the veil, the falling of the veils between this dimension and the fourth dimension very rapidly now. How does that fit for you?
I think that fits just good. That's very interesting that you say that. So we're actually merging.
Yeah, well, the council say in the book, The Cosmos of Soul, they say, you know, you've got to understand that when this occurs, when you're getting into the 2012 transitional frame, you're going to be confronted with time disappearing, and this means that there's going to be a lot of difficulty in your understanding. You're not going crazy. But that these things are really happening. And it's interesting because while I'm watching everybody poo-pooing all of these phenomena and saying it's a hoax or whatever, we're seeing human nature being faced with some form of reality that most people completely refuse as it can't be real. And I think I said at the workshop, Jesus Christ could walk into the middle of the crowd, and 99.9% of the people would say, get that hippie freak out of here.
Yes, of course they would.
Because it doesn't fit into the paradigm that we believe is truth, and that paradigm is being shaken. In these days, it seems, dramatically.
Absolutely.
So there are some things going on in this part of the world. There was that circle in the clouds that looked like a ring of lights impressed down onto the low clouds in Moscow. That was over Moscow. Did you see that?
Yes. Did you notice there was like little, tiny little UFOs that came out the side of it? Lots of different people's footage of that. And there appeared to be little tiny ships which came out of that. Little tiny black miniature ships which seemed to come out the middle of it.
And it was so impressive. I was definitely taking note of that. Then we had the Norway spiral. Then we have this. And I just recall the council saying also that when the crop circles are precursors to lights in the sky, phenomenon in the sky, preparing us to understand that the language is symbol. They call it cosmometry. And that it will be very important for us now to pay attention as these things start to appear. And appear they are. So I'd like to know what your opinion is as a warrior for the light and as a responsible alternative, let's call you journalist, for truth through freedom in Freedom Central. What is your impression? What do you believe?
So, my opinions are subject to change at any minute as soon as I get new information. I always say that because it always
like
evolves. but I really, more than anything, and it's more an instinctual thing, and I just, this is also a past life thing, to feel there is an awakening going on, and it's not for no reason. There's a whole bunch of people that have been activated, if I can use that word, and who suddenly just something switched on and they've gone, hang on, I'm on this planet for a reason, and by God, I'm starting to remember what that is. And it's been quite a sudden thing over a period of about a year that I've noticed is so many people going through this rapid change and awareness, and like I did. And it's quite explosive, and for some people, it goes at such a fast pace that it accelerates you into this dynamic flow that I'm in where, okay, there's no looking back, the veils have come down, the illusions are broken, we cannot be part of the system anymore, and we just go full tilt to help this thing move on as fast as possible.
It's true, and we feel also assisted, I'm sure you do. I think you mentioned that, you after the difficulty, you suddenly felt you had assistance as you, you know, we get these tests, and when you pass the test, you kind of get some kind of committee going, okay, we can work with these guys.
Yes, yes, indeed. I very much feel we're being assisted. And I think there's a lot of people out there who are very much rooting for us. I feel it with some of the communications we had subliminally. They just tell us that there's something coming and we've got to be ready for it. And we're part of that process.
I think it's already here. And I think that this something coming is starting to appear in the sky. Besides everything else that's happening, I think that we need to be watching what's going on in the sky because there are sightings now, multi-sightings every day all over the planet.
Yes.
We have more and more people reporting, particularly in England, that they have had encounters with Nordic-type extraterrestrials who are telling them they're here to assist in the shift. And a woman just, I think, yesterday reported having in England having an encounter with a tall Nordic type who she was out walking, and he said that we're here to assist, but it's still not time to announce completely. And she was scared out of the bejesus and went running to, and she did tell her story to the police, who claimed it was a quote credible report. So I think that, you know, aliens are amongst us. I think that they are starting to talk to us. I think we are in the thick of it. And it's not necessarily coming. it's here. We just are only just starting to notice it.
Yeah, I agree.
And yeah, I think also that reality, it means we are in for a quickening, as you're feeling, as so many people are feeling right now. How exciting is this?
It's a great time to be alive. It's very exciting indeed. And, you know, people like David Icke share that excitement passionately. We are very privileged to be around for this, and I can't wait to see how it all pans out.
Yeah, we remember that we came in to be here for this. If we take the power of remembering that we, at the soul level, we came in here knowing what we were doing. Ah, it gives us so much power. It's remarkable.
Indeed, indeed.
Power and responsibility.
Yes.
So let's talk about some of the other. What is it that attracts you to people? You said people that are putting out information that is about empowerment. But how did you find me, for example? I don't remember.
Well, do you know, it's the most bizarre story, because every single person that I interview, for some, there is a story that goes with it. I'll focus on yours for the moment. I actually was made aware of an event, Symposium, which was going on, and we only came into the knowledge of this. I had just come back from Zurich, where I interviewed David Icke and Bill Ryan from Project Camelot, and quite behind in keeping up to date with what's going on. So sat down and realized, there's this Frontier Symposium happening at the Krasnopolsky. Went through the list of people. Then there were a whole bunch of people there that I just had no idea who they were, but for some reason, people who really jumped out at me. And in the end, there were only two that I contacted, and was yourself and Albert Toby. And I can just say that, like yourself, Albert Toby has become one of our best friends. We spend a lot of time with him now. We unfortunately couldn't see you because the organizer of this event didn't want journalists coming in and taking up the time of speakers on the actual day, and we sent you an email the last minute to say, look, we weren't able to come, the event organizer, you know, changed his mind at the last minute. And for some other reason, you called us back, I think it was at 12 o'clock at night, gone onto our website and read our press release about our attack. And you were so impressed with our bravery that you had to talk to us, and came, you know, bouncing into the Krasnopolsky covered in chocolate the very next day.
Yeah, and I felt so bad that I realized that I called you in the middle of the night, because I was, you know, a little bit turned around with time because of the schedule that I was under. I apologize again for that.
Don't worry, we weren't asleep. And we were so glad that you called back. We were quite amazed.
It was a great connection. And
absolutely.
Still is.
And, of course, it was absolutely meant to happen. Much the way Albert Toby, you know, came from that symposium, the list of people who were speaking, you know, the two of you out, and it's the same thing. It's an instinctual thing, and you know, I think it's also the reason why someone like David Icke, who hates journalists, who, you know, I've never seen him laugh or cry in an interview. And in the first interview I did with him, I had him laughing. In the second interview I did with him, I had him crying. And for me, it's really because I think people can identify that I'm truly doing this for the right reasons. I gave up.
Well, I can tell you that as a person that's on the other side of your interview, is that there is a very strong sense of your integrity and your absolute, what can I say, selfless intention to serve as a vehicle to bring truth, as you understand it, out to the public. And I'm sure that you'll be finding great ease at finding all of the people that you want to interview, because that comes through.
Well, I hope so. And, you know, this is, for me, it's such a true, real experience. I wouldn't taint it with ego. You know, it's just so much better when it's real.
So how did you start out? I mean, obviously you're from the media world, so you had familiarity with the camera. I mean, you do a great job of filming. Did it just come naturally, or were you trained?
Well, no. I actually studied performing arts, but I had a car accident when I was in my first year, and I was in a wheelchair. I mean, I was paralyzed. I learned to heal myself.
Wow.
I learned Reiki, and I healed myself. My whole history, I've got quite an interesting life story, which I won't go into details now, but I had studied performing arts, and then I worked on a lot of different things whilst I was in London as a freelance media artist, both as art director. I was art director for Coca-Cola shoots for some time, as fashion stylist, on TV shows as well, as TV presenter, worked with different aspects. And, you know, when you spend a lot of time with people on crew, on location, and I take note of everything, you know, I learned a lot. And I think I just had a natural enjoyment for making and telling a story. And I have pitched a few really good documentaries to some very big television channels in London. But unfortunately, they didn't want hard-hitting documentaries, and I realized soon that there was an agenda on, which is how I kind of moved out of the media world.
Yeah, there's not too much mainstream media wanting to talk about the CIA and their involvement with aliens.
Exactly. But it's been an amazing kind of... I don't know. I just think this is what I was meant to do. It incorporates everything I've ever had in terms of interest. And it's like my life has been one big training course for me to get to the point of doing the stuff that I'm doing now. It's the only way I can describe it.
I think that it's so exciting that there are a number of people who are true warriors on the planet. I think I'm one. I think you. I think David. There are a number of us that are dedicated spirit warriors out here. And it's just so exciting that we're all connecting and working together now, much more than we have in the past.
Absolutely.
And this is one of the things that you are accomplishing, is bringing together teams of warriors to blast the information out.
Well, this is one of the perks of what I do. Is I didn't realize when I set out just how much of a networking opportunity this would be and how valuable that would be within time. You know, for me, it is really about just creating a platform for information. But I've been blessed with so much more in terms of the love, connection, and, you know, having those people that you can talk to about the most crazy things and know that they'll probably understand.
Right. And crazy has a whole new definition in our, let's say, circle.
Yeah, exactly.
Awareness.
Exactly.
You realize for starters that crazy is good.
Yes, indeed.
So what lies ahead now as far as the focus of Freedom Central and what you and Rich are? I remember asking you this, and you said we just take it day by day and follow guidance. But what do you perceive as a direction of what you're going to be doing in the unfolding days where the sky seems to be giving us all these new surprises, and so do governments and all kinds of other sources of information?
Well, I'll tell you exactly what we are doing at the moment. I am editing together a little DVD called The Message, which is just clips, including some from you, of some of the best bits of our interviews, but edited into a little story. And then, of course, I'm going to bring out my book, hopefully finish it off in January when I finish doing this DVD. And what happens in terms of who we interview really is from day to day. I mean, the last time we spoke, you said to me, who am I interviewing next? And I said, I honestly can't tell you from day to day. And quite literally, I've had this very week, someone who was a Project Camelot whistleblower, whose land is now lap, is now staying with us at the moment. And I won't mention any names because I believe it's not the right thing to do.
Okay, but hold on. You said Camelot whistleblower. Some people may not know what you're talking about. Can you elaborate on that?
Of course. Project Camelot is an alternative media platform, but they specialize in interviewing black ops whistleblowers who, you know, secret agencies work for black operations who have come out. They do a few other people as well. They've done David Icke, you know, but they're a bit more macabre. They are my platforms, but more focusing on positive inspiration. So one of the people and one of the main sort of whistleblowers for them in the early days, which sort of got them on the landmark, was someone who came out and spoke openly about his involvement in planning 9-1-1 and 9-11, sorry. And so this guy who we've connected with has now ended up staying with us for a little bit. So, you know, this is what I say, from day to day, we don't know who pops into our lives and who we'll be looking after and, you know, who's who's going to be part of our journey for a bit of time.
And so shall I suggest that the guy that you're talking about is not a Muslim and his name isn't Ali Muhammad Akbar?
Oh, no, of course not.
Very interesting.
He's Caucasian-American, worked in the Black Ops, and, of course, I'll share this information with you up there, no problem. But, he's pretty well known for having been involved in the planning stages of 9/11. And he's very good friends with the Ground Crew Amsterdam, of course, whom you know we're very closely associated, and has discussed...
What is the Ground Crew?
Ground Crew is also a Camelot-inspired, Project Camelot-inspired sort of organizations which have sort of mushroomed up all over the world. Like there's a Ground Crew Zurich, the Ground Crew Amsterdam. And really where it comes from is there's a gentleman called George Green who has a fabulous website called nohoaxes.com. And he is married to a very strong channel who I think she channels the Pleiadian something. And they basically have put out on Project Camelot's website messages for the Ground Crew about, you know, what's to come in the future, etc. And so these little organizations started sprouting up all over the show called Ground Crew. And that is, in fact, how we first met Bill Ryan and Kerry Cassidy for the first time, was at a Ground Crew conference here in Amsterdam only on the 1st of August this year. And within a week, we had bought ourselves cameras and laptops, and we were off doing our own thing, having met them and realizing that there was a lot of people here in Holland who came to this conference with a lot of information, the platforms to get them out on.
So this is kind of a network of an information network. I would imagine the name Ground Crew implies that no matter where you go, you've got this support structure to help you get what you need to get or to get out what you need to get out. Is that right?
Well, yes, indeed. When I went to Zurich, Ground Crew was supplying us with accommodation and being around us. I mean, they organized the David Icke event in Zurich, and you know, they looked after us at the alternative media. And there, a lot of them are what we call wanderers, for lack of, or are volunteers. They know that they are here for a reason, and they've sort of started coming together in these various organizations. Some of them come together in organizations like We Are Change, which is, I think, an organization which is still more stuck at the 9-1-1 level of a conspiracy. However, things like Ground Crew have more of an understanding of the spiritual aspect. But you know what? There's no differentiation. We're all one, and we're all working towards the same end, so we all work together. And understand that, you know, it's at the end of the day, these labels, you said it so beautifully in your workshop, there's so many factions we all need to be brought together, you know, if we're ever going to make change.
And it's starting to happen more and more. Even scientists are starting to embrace some of the ideologies of the spiritual people and say, you know, it looks like we might have had it wrong all along. It's just such a time of a peaking of energy, and we really are seeing that 2012 is reality. We are going through this immense breakthrough time. It's too exciting. And
it
does,
I mean, I have to
imply a lot of responsibility, a lot of hard work.
Yeah.
But that's what we came to do with the tough guys of the Spirit Warrior Committee.
Absolutely. And you are one of them.
All right, thank you. So are you. Well, I like to think of myself as a soft fluffy, but I feel like I've got big, big shoulders.
Oh,
what do you think? Am I a soft fluffy or a tough guy?
You know, I think you're a delicate balance of both.
Oh, how sweet. That I like. Thank you. So let's talk now. Boy, the time is just racing. This is just so foolish. It's getting harder and harder to do anything within linear time, isn't it?
Well, you know, Patricia, when I sit down and edit, I can't believe, like, when I sit down in the morning and then I realize, oh, my goodness, it's already after 2, and I just don't know whether, it doesn't feel like I've done that amount of time's worth of work. And every day
yeah,
seems
and
to feel shorter.
Trying to conduct a radio show that's an hour long is all fun because it's, you're just talking and suddenly a whole hour has almost gone.
Yeah, absolutely. I know how you feel. I have the same problem.
So So you were going to tell me about what you've got planned. You said this one person. You're going to really put that out there in video, this dark op guy?
To be honest with you, I don't even think I want to. I'll be honest. I think people have had enough of it.
Good, I'm glad to hear that.
Yeah. Yeah, no, he's wonderful in terms of sitting down and giving me information. He's been on Mars, and he's been on Mars to jump holes from Earth. You know, so in terms of the information he gives me for background use for my own books and my own research, you know, he's fantastic. But he's not somebody I'm going to put on a platform. The platform is one of love and inspiration. And this man is so messed up in the head. I mean, he's had a lot of things done to him, and after all the things he's done, he lives in a terrible state of fear. Not state of fear, but just, I don't know, torment. And
when you say he's been on Mars, are you talking about remote viewing?
No, I mean he's actually been on Mars.
Physically,
through a jump hole from Earth. Yeah, he was in the Black Ops project.
Okay, and what is a jump hole?
Well, a jump hole basically is, I guess it's a little bit like a stargate. They're man-made. You don't need to take a space shuttle to Mars. You just go through all these things and you're there within a few seconds, and they exist. I mean, they've got the technology. They've had it for some time in you know, the military, the dark operations, Black Ops projects within the military and industrial complex. They've had the ability. That's how they get to Mars. The bases on Mars is through these jump holes.
So it's like a wormhole.
Yeah, like a wormhole, very much like a wormhole. But I think these are more man-created ones as opposed to natural wormholes.
So if anybody wants to get off planet Earth, they can just say, I'm going to jump on out for a while. I want to go!
So do I. And you know what? Damn them for keeping it to themselves. I mean,
they've got the toys. We want to play.
Yeah, they keep us, you know, they're done now so we can actually get off of this place.
I had wonderful Andrew Balziago on my show recently who will be back on for people that are listening. He'll be back on January 2nd. Do not miss this show. This man has done similar things like going through time machines at age 6 with his dad who was in the military and jumping into Mars, jumping, I suppose, through these holes. That's how he described it, a device. And I said, okay, Andrew, this is ridiculous. We're finished, but you've got to be right back on because we were in the heat of him describing going through the time machine, which has been already 40 years well-known to the military. And I said, I want to play too. So this again, I mean, we want this technology. We want to play too.
I know. They keep so much from us, Patricia. This is why we do what we do, is to try and make people aware that other options do exist. And when they exist, why do we perpetuate the suffering of humans and animals?
Yeah, and I mean, you know, the Syrian High Council in the very first book that I did, which was about 10 years ago now, Cosmos of Soul, they declare there is life on Mars. There is life on the moon and other planets. They've got the technology. Get on with it. I mean, this is elementary stuff compared to what you're going to be discerning and learning in the years that come before 2012. And so here it is all unfolding right on schedule.
Yeah, very exciting times indeed. I really can't wait to see what unfolds. And it's an honor and a pleasure to obviously have friends like yourself that we can talk to about these things. So, you know, what a wonderful
Yeah, and I was just thinking and reflecting upon, before we started the interview, how really amazing it is that such profound friendships pop up so quickly because, to be honest, we met, had a great meeting. I met you again. I feel like I've known you all my life times, and I'm sure we're going to be spending so much time together, and it's just kindred spirits. It is almost as if we have no more time to mess around now. We get right to the source, to the deepest emotion, that connection, and we're all starting to remember that we come from other places, too.
See, I actually think you're very modest. You know, you're just a lovable person. I can't imagine anybody not getting on with you. I was magnetized to you, Patricia. You're such a warm, wonderful being and so humble with all your knowledge and all your skills and all your abilities. And for me, that's just something that I had to have as part of my life. So, you know, really, I know what you're saying, but that is the nature of you. You are a naturally loving and very magnetic person. So I can't imagine anyone not being drawn to you.
Well, I'm, first of all, I appreciate you so much saying humble, because this for me is very, very important that we keep grounded in humility to be credible. But what I meant to say was that it's very exciting that we are cutting through the crap, in a sense, and getting it very clear about who the people are that we resonate with, and that happens immediately, very powerfully, and it's like a lifetime connection.
Indeed, and it will be.
And it will be indeed. As you said in the video, we know that joy.
Yes.
I keep reminding you, in that first interview when I said it's such a great joy, you said, yes, we know that joy. I find that to be one of the most powerful parts of that interview that you gave me.
Oh, thank you so much. I've actually gone back and watched that because I've heard you mention that a few times, and I didn't realize when I said it how profound it was.
It is so profound, isn't it? It's deeply moving, very powerful.
Yes.
And you've got the next video coming up. Some people are asking me, when is that going? I think you've got it edited already?
You know what, Patricia, it's the most brilliant thing is I finished it last night, just about half an hour before we had a shaman come around and do some rituals with us. It was brilliant. It was just the most synchronistic thing. And I was laying there during this lovely trance state we were in and thinking about the work that I'd done. I'm thinking, I can't wait to get this uploaded. But I know that I've taken some bits from the workshop, and obviously I hope you're going to like the way I've done them. I'm always know that you're a perfectionist like myself with certain things, and I've taken quite a few artistic liberties. So let's hope you like it. I'll let you see it before I post it, I promise.
Oh, how will we do that?
Oh, don't worry. There's a way of doing it. So Richard will sort it out for you.
Okay, well, great. So for everybody that's listening, there will be another video up shortly. But she's going to let me see it first so that if I've got any goobers hanging out of my nose. I thought I'd throw some humor in there.
You keep looking great, I promise.
Well, it was wonderful giving you that second interview, and I think that we, I don't know, it's just together. When we're together, the energy just soars, and it was another very inspiring moment doing that with you, and I know we'll have many more. And so for people that are listening, I want you to pay attention to this woman. Her name is Mel Vey. Her website is freedomcentral.info. She's out there with her camera, with her man, who is another angel named Rich, with her helpers, getting to the people that can make a difference on this planet, getting this information out there for all, taking great risks, and sacrifice, and it is an honor to know her. Thank you, Mel. I'm really grateful that you've come on. We're out of time already.
Oh.
I'll have you back on.
Sure.
You let me know what you're up to and who you're talking to, and you watch out for those black op guys, because we want you to be out there talking as much as you need to, and we don't need to talk about that too much more. It's out there. They're doing it. Let's get on with what it means for us to even raise them up to a new dawn, a new light, a new being, a new state of being. Okie doke.
Anyway, Trisha, thank you for having me on your show. It's been a great honor, and I can't wait to speak to you again.
Me too. Thank you, Mel, and for everybody that's listening, next week, hey, I can't believe it. It's the holiday. Apparently, we're no longer allowed to say Christmas. I don't know why. Who's mad about Christmas? Is it the Zionists? Is it the Christians? What the hell is going on? To you, I have to say, Merry Christmas. Light up your tree. Get over the whole intense, you can't say it concept. Have a great time. And you won't be hearing from me on Saturday because I'm going to be on vacation, snuggled up with my wonderful man, drinking hot chocolate or champagne or both. And waiting for Santa Claus to do the ho, 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 because somewhere deep inside, I really do believe in this guy. So have a wonderful, wonderful Christmas, and remember that it's a time of incredible holiness and introspection, and ask for peace to reign on planet Earth. Thank you, Mel. Thank you, everybody. Have a wonderful time. It's Patricia Corey reminding you, to always dare to think outside the box of convention. Though that's where the wisdom is, that's where the miracles are. I love you. Be blessed. Patricia Corey, signing out. Nanu Nanu.